Hi there, and welcome to Humanities Viewpoints, a podcast from the Humanities Institute at Wake Forest University. I'm your host, Program Coordinator Amy Meppam. Diwali has become a national festival that is celebrated throughout India and other parts of South Asia by many different faiths, including Hindus, Jains, and Sikhs. The main festival night of Diwali coincides with the darkest new moon night of the Hindu calendar, between mid-October and mid-November in the Gregorian calendar, and this year the darkest night was October 23rd. In this episode, Dr. Tanisha Ramachandran, Assistant Teaching Professor in the Department of Religion at Wake Forest University, talks about the history and cultural significance of the Diwali festival, including how the celebration varies by region and religious tradition. Tanisha Ramachandran earned her PhD from Concordia University, Montreal, Canada. She is currently working on a monograph tentatively titled Idolized Representations, which deals with issues of colonialism and the transmission and commoditization of Hindu imagery in the Euro-American world. Prior to joining Wake Forest University, she taught in the Department of Religion and the Simone de Beauvoir Institute at Concordia University. She has published in various journals, including the Journal of Religion and Culture in Canadian Women's Studies, and has given numerous talks on issues pertaining to race, sexuality, religion, and feminism. Her other areas of interest include the racialization of Islam in the North American media, Hindu nationalism, Hindu and Buddhist art, and women in South Asian religions. During our conversation, Dr. Ramachandran also mentions the Diwali and Eid celebration that will be held on Wake Forest University's campus on Saturday, November 8th, from 4 to 6 p.m. on Manchester Plaza, sponsored by the South Asian Student Association. Come enjoy great food, music, and community. Here is our conversation about Diwali's traditions and history. Thanks so much for being with me today. If we could just start by giving the audience a brief description of Diwali and, maybe some of the significance or etymology of the name and, some of the customs that are associated with it.
So Diwali actually is like a vernacular calling of Deepavali, which means Deepa meaning lamps and Avali meaning sort of a row of lamps. So it becomes known as the Festival of Lights. And it's actually one of the most fun and pan-Hindu festivals that is recognized all over countries where Hindus exist. India, Sri Lanka, North America, England, Mauritius, going on. And its significance, depending on what region you're from, people still celebrate different aspects of it. But I think it's all agreed that this is a festival dedicated to the Hindu goddess Lakshmi, who is one of the most popular goddesses, popular deities for Hindus. It could have something to do with the fact that she's portrayed as the goddess of wealth, and she has money flowing from her hands. That makes it pretty... pretty popular,
attractive,
featured appraiser, but she's more than that too. Sure. But what this does is Lakshmi is one of Vishnu's consorts, but has, arguably is one of the most popular deities worshipped on her own. And she's pictured, like I said, with money flowing out and on the lotus signifying her purity, as well as her hand up and her right hand up in a sort of what we would call a stop gesture, but really that's a welcoming gesture there, saying, come to me, I will grant whatever you want. So in terms of wealth, she's considered the goddess of wealth. There's an element of spiritual wealth in there, like come to her to get more religion, and material wealth. And as such, Diwali, celebrating her, people want to welcome her into a home. It comes kind of demarcated as a new year of matter speaking, not in a traditional sense, but this is the time that business owners, storekeepers will start their books because it's considered an auspicious day. And auspicious here meaning the potential to bring about something good. So she will be pictured all over various stores, banks, and in homes. And what people do to begin the celebration is they will start cleaning their house, opening windows, getting ready for the day. Typically, Diwali is said to celebrate 5 days, but it's the Diwali night that people, which is the darkest day in the Hindu calendar. When I say Hindu calendar, the Hindus do use a Gregorian calendar, but in terms of the Hindu calendar, it's a lunar solar calendar, and in this it takes place in the demarcation of Ashwini, and this is celebrated on the darkest night, and that's when you see the lights go on, because you want to welcome Lakshmi in your home for the coming year. And as I said, people clean their house, get new clothes on. And for children at this time, it's particularly great because you would wake up in the morning at some time and your parents would give you something shiny. When I was growing up, it was a shiny quarter. I think it's gone up now. but And it was just something, you got sweets, you got to see your friends, mm-hmm. and family would go from house to house. Mm-hmm. And in the mornings, a lot of times you would find women decorating the front porch of their house. In North India, we would call it rangolis, geometric or beautiful, colorful patterns. In mm-hmm. South India, it's known as kolam. Mm-hmm. And it was said that Lakshmi likes beauty mm-hmm. of the kolams. And it was also said that during this time, only good would come into your house because the quote-unquote evil eye would get caught in the pattern, mm, the geometric mm-hmm. pattern, and not come inside. Mm-hmm. So you would put these on your doorstep to welcome Lakshmi into your house because you wanted her to reside in your house all year long. Mm-hmm. And you would have your back door open in order to, people call it her sister, but it's really her opposite, known as Alakshmi or Jeshta. Mm-hmm. You want her out of the house. So she symbolizes everything Lakshmi is not.
Right. Okay.
And you want her out.
Mm-hmm.
So you would start by lighting lamps to welcome Lakshmi in. Mm-hmm. You would sort of have these beautiful patterns on your floor. Mm-hmm. You'd be having sweets and great food. Mm-hmm. And you'd be wearing new clothes maybe. Mm-hmm. I think it's got out of hand. Sometimes you could ask for a new car. But, you know, mm-hmm. that doesn't really happen that much. Mm-hmm. But so there's a Lakshmi Puja which will occur. For other people, and this is part of the event, it also signifies the return of Rama and Sita from the Hindu epic, the Ramayana,
mm-hmm.
returning with Lakshmana, Rama's brother, from exile of 14 years, where they have just won a battle over the Rakshasa, and it translates into demon, but, you know, this concept of absolute good and evil,
right.
It is not necessarily there in Hinduism. So
yeah.
When people are like, good over evil, we can maybe talk about it being Dharma over Adharma,
mm-hmm.
meaning right action, right thought
mm-hmm.
over something that isn't right action or right thought.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it signifies them coming back to Ayodhya after this 14-year exile. And it was said that the people of Ayodhya lit the passage back with these divyas or deepas, lamps,
mm-hmm.
for them coming back. So you see the combination of mythology coming into place here too. So it's like just so when it's literally a festival of lights, and it's interesting to look over on Diwali Day. Google Maps shows us, and it shows us India just lit up,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a beautiful sight.
In terms of the sweets and things, what are some of the things that you would have?
Well, it could go anything from having, you know, Snickers bars
to
having various kinds of sweets like milk toffee,
mm-hmm.
Jalebi, just like all mm-hmm. these Indian sweets, which people. South Asian sweets.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And as people say, like, South Asian sweets are the sweetest of sweets. So
mm-hmm.
you have these different arrays, including chocolate, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and anything, you just want something tasty to the palate during this time. You have it in terms of this. And a lot of times in certain places where there is, the night will also have fireworks.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's fireworks going off in time just... It's just a fun time
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But it's also acknowledging these religious elements like the god, worship of the goddess Lakshmi.
Right.
And bringing the family and culture all together,
mm-hmm.
as well as learning the stories.
Mm-hmm.
And learning the story of Rama and Sita and them coming back and their victory. And Diwali also celebrates different parts of Hindu epics. So
mm-hmm.
you also have, you know, all these sub-narratives in different parts of the celebration over, the Dharma over
mm-hmm.
Adharma,
mm-hmm.
or Dharmic. So these celebrations of gods vanquishing different types of demons,
mm-hmm.
just to show the triumph over the good or evil, is
mm-hmm.
will be said in vernacular, but we can also say over Vidya, knowledge over avidya, ignorance.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
in the end, that is something that teaches, not only brings community together, all types of communities,
mm-hmm.
but also teaches some religious principles by rewarding us with sweets.
Right.
Yeah.
So how does the celebration differ throughout some of the different... Well, you've talked a little bit about it, you know,
uh-huh.
North and South, you know, through different parts of India mm-hmm. and other parts of Asia, and also in, you know, different mm-hmm. religious traditions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, Diwali does not belong only to the Hindus.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We can say Diwali belongs to everyone,
mm-hmm.
because at the end of the day, we can say, hey, knowledge over ignorance sounds good to
sure,
me.
Yeah.
But for the Sikhs, mm-hmm. another... religion that is
mm-hmm.
in India, it is the celebration is considered sort of a day of liberation,
mm-hmm.
And it's the day that marks the freeing of the sixth guru, Hargobind, mm-hmm. from prison and having him return to Amritsar, which is one of the foremost Sikh temples in India. And it's celebrated too with light. You mm-hmm. see the lighting of lamps and the celebratory atmosphere with the fireworks and everything coming in. And sweets are involved too. Like mm-hmm. I said, sweets are all the way through, not trying to distill the meaning of the festival.
Right.
And then you have the Jains, another religion. Mm-hmm. And the Jains celebrate this with the victory of Mahavira, mm-hmm. One of the Tirthankaras, or Jinas, meaning victors, mm-hmm. a perfected being that has achieved has crossed over from samsara, mm-hmm. the cycle of rebirth, and achieved moksha. Mm-hmm. Jina means victory, victor, and victory over samsara. Mm-hmm. It sort of signifies his day, and he's the last of those jinas. So there's 24, he's the last mm-hmm. one. And so it's celebrated in terms of him having reached moksha. Mm-hmm. The Jain celebration is much more muted because Jainism sort of operates on three major principles, the one being important here being ahimsa or nonviolence, mm-hmm. and sort of having lessening your outward motions as right. well as making it more of an internal celebration. Mm-hmm. So you will see there'll be fasting on this day mm-hmm. for Jains, and the light will signify the inner light of knowledge inside. Mm-hmm. And fireworks aren't used because of the whole non-violent thing.
Sure.
It's taken to think of in case the fireworks will damage any of the organisms in the sky or, you know, on Earth as it comes down. So it's mm-hmm. a more muted celebration mm-hmm. in textual tradition, but there are still elements that are marking it as a very happy mm-hmm. Event. And because, you know, these traditions don't exist in a vacuum.
Right.
Their celebration will show the unification of all of these traditions and people just meeting together mm-hmm. and sort of celebrating this important aspect of culture too.
So did you grow up celebrating it?
Well, I grew up, and here's where it becomes interesting, because I grew up in a Christian household, uh-huh. a Hindu Christian household. It was interesting to see how this festival was just for everyone who of South Asian descent. Mm-hmm. So walking around, it was just one of those days where, yes, you would hear about Lakshmi and you would hear stories, but it was more about the celebratory aspect of bringing communities together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it becomes particularly important for those who aren't living in a country where Hinduism has a huge presence.
Right.
It allows you to connect with people with similar beliefs or similar cultural background, mm-hmm. whether that be people from various parts of South Asia mm-hmm. or living in North America or wherever you may be living. Actually, London has one of the biggest Diwali celebrations.
I read that, yeah.
And just to be, I've had the fortune of visiting London uh-huh. during this time.
Oh, really? Yeah.
From childhood to now, uh-huh. and you're just like, wow, this is amazing. Where am I? To see the streets decorated yeah. with candles mm-hmm. and just lights, mm-hmm. It's quite a beautiful sight to see. But it's also just an interesting how celebrations take different forms in different countries.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so in North America here, it's like one of those things where you're like, okay, Diwali, and it's a community gathering mm-hmm. For people to come together and sort of celebrate together. And also share. It also brings people who aren't familiar with Diwali who are like, hey, what's going on here?
Sure.
And it gives people the opportunity to learn about other traditions mm-hmm. and say, oh, I can compare this to my tradition, or this is a holiday for you. And so it's, I guess as a professor, I'm taking the educational moment.
Absolutely,
too,
yeah.
During Diwali to be like, okay, let's talk about what this does.
That makes sense, yeah.
And let's see how you can experience other cultures and other religions.
Yeah.
As opposed to media outlets. All
right,
the time.
Right,
like,
right.
Hey, I'm going to show you what makes this religion great, too, mm-hmm. rather than seeing people's perceived views on certain religions. Via the media.
That's a perfect segue into talking about, you know, how you talk about Diwali in your teaching.
Well, when I teach Intro to Hinduism, mm-hmm. unfortunately I can't give it the whole
sure.
amount of time I want to, but mm-hmm. it's one of those festivals where I say, hey, this is a pan-Hindu festival, mm-hmm. And when we say pan-Jain, pan-Sikh festival mm-hmm. as well, where it's celebrated by all Hindus mm-hmm. In this case, meaning because there's some festivals which will be celebrated in the north or be celebrated only by Punjabis or mm-hmm. be celebrated only by Tamils, but this is one of the major festivals that runs through. And when I talk about it, I think I bring it up in terms of when I'm talking about the goddess Lakshmi, or I make my students talk about it when they're talking about the right. goddess Lakshmi in their presentations.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So it's a way to talk about it. And given that we're going to celebrate Eid and Diwali together mm-hmm. on campus,
yeah.
it's like just a precursor to be like, hey, come out on this day and yeah. celebrate with the South Asian Students Association mm-hmm. and your professors and your other... you know, other friends, and they have some inkling of what Diwali is, although at the celebrations there will be plenty of people who will be able to tell everyone what is being celebrated.
Yeah.
I guess I would like to discuss the fact that there is now a South Asian Student Association.
Yeah, yeah. What was the sort of generation of
well,
that?
Well, you know, I think it was 2 years ago, one of my minor students, maybe mm-hmm. not a minor student, but a student
yes.
of mine,
yeah.
Ankita Kesar, mm-hmm. Came to me, and she was majoring in pre-med. And a lot of times we do see this crossover with the major in pre-med or the pre-med tech, but coming and realizing, hey, religious studies is a great way to sort of fulfill both the human element in learning about people,
mm-hmm.
The humanities,
yep.
going through that way. And she was interested because she's a Hindu student who mm-hmm. grew up Hindu, but she was finding a lot of space. There was no Hindu Students Association and was hanging out with the Muslim Students Association
mm-hmm.
In order to have some kind of cultural coalition to,
sure.
to say a bit. And she started putting, she worked pretty hard, I have to say. I have to give her the credit. She's graduating this semester.
Yeah.
Of putting together this constitution, and we worked on it, and mm-hmm. saying that it was very important for her that this be open to anyone interested in South Asia. And
mm-hmm.
I agree completely.
Yeah.
And any religion to come and just mm-hmm. partake in South Asian culture
mm-hmm.
and enjoy the rich vastness of it. And so it started last year, and it finally became put into a group now this year, the South Asian Student Association. It's, and, you know, the new executive and the new president is Aishwarya Nagar.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been really sort of trying to bring the community together
yeah.
In terms of even hosting dinners and,
yeah.
you know, hosting and hopefully having a Bollywood night soon.
Mm-hmm.
But to bring anyone interested in India together, and also giving a place for South Asian students on campus to meet the other South Asian
mm-hmm.
students. So right now, I see it growing. It's quite exciting, and
mm-hmm.
it's something, you know, I suspect will grow even more as
yeah.
time goes on. I'll try to bring other professors
yeah.
into it as well,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes a good way to, I'm like, oh, great, I get to go and have a Diwali Eid celebration,
yeah.
something to go and enjoy. So just a way of, you know, connecting people at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How, yeah, so... why celebrate Diwali and Eid?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the same celebration.
Well, Eid also it takes place on a different calendar system,
right? Uh-huh.
And last semester, when the South Asian Student Association came into existence,
mm-hmm.
and it came into existence out of the need to create unity among
mm-hmm.
South Asian students and people interested in South Asia
mm-hmm.
on campus, and what happened was during this time, Eid and Diwali fell so close together
mm-hmm.
that it just made sense
yeah.
to do so. And it was a way of unifying, you know, a fragmented system in South Asia. A
mm-hmm.
lot of times you hear about communal violence between Hindus and Muslims. And unfortunately, on other campuses,
mm-hmm.
Bigger campuses, this is translated into student groups.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the case on Wake Forest's campus. In fact, you see a lot of interaction between the MSA, which is a very sort of strong and vibrant group on campus,
mm-hmm.
And the South Asian Students Association, and hopefully the Hindu Student Association, which is in its nascent stages. We're trying to get the constitution in play.
Mm-hmm.
But you see a lot of interaction. And to be able to celebrate, even though they're religious festivals and the South Asian Students Association is a cultural festival, you can see the intermingling of two, to bring them to make sure that we are honoring all parts of South Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also showing the unity that's being built on this campus between these
yeah.
Between these religious groups, but also the cultural similarities.
Mm-hmm.
So because at the end of the day, you can relate to someone who's part of your community.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you aren't a big presence on campus, it's a way of showing unity and a way of like being with people who know how you grew up, as well as people who are interested, because you see a lot of people who are interested in South Asia. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, you want to eat the food, you mm-hmm. want the sweets,
sure.
you know, and you're like, sparklers, I'll take sparklers.
Yeah.
And the way it's celebrated will be through more a party-esque, I would mm-hmm. say, atmosphere,
sure. mm-hmm.
where when the celebrations take place on the Magnolia Quad,
mm-hmm.
be a DJ there for dancing.
Yeah.
So uh-huh. just to keep that happy Great. Atmosphere. So more, there are two religious events that are being celebrated, but they're being celebrated in terms of in a cultural way mm-hmm. that brings people together. And like I said, you don't have to be South Asian
sure.
to attend this. This is a great time for anyone who's interested
yeah.
in the culture or anyone who likes food and music
mm-hmm. yeah.
to come down and be part of the celebration.
Sure. That's great. That was Tanisha Ramachandran on Diwali. Don't forget to attend the Diwali and Eid celebration, sponsored by the South Asian Student Association, from 4 to 6 p.m. on Saturday, November 8th, on Manchester Plaza. The Rain location is 401 in the Benson Center. To listen to other episodes of Humanities Viewpoints, visit humanitiesinstitute.wfu.edu/podcast or listen to us on iTunes. Humanities Viewpoints is recorded and produced by me, Amy Mepham. Thanks for listening.